This new album is the first project under your own name, but for those who aren't familiar, could you run us through your history in the New Zealand music scene and the timeline of how you ended up here?
Well, I was in a band for like many years that really grew up organically around me because I was not a normal fit for music creation. Like in the early years, I absolutely adored music. It was my saviour, probably, as with many people in their teenage years, and I've got a really wide appreciation for music. And as a result, I ended up with this really amazing old country band for many, many years called Evan Sparrow, and we never left the country, but domestically we just travelled everywhere and did, you know, so many shows and put out 3 records. Before that, even started doing, you know, really DIY, like learning how to record at home with one microphone hanging from a ceiling. Like, I've done it all, and we just had a really DIY way of making music because it wasn't for me about making something to share, it was just making it because I was making something. Initially started thinking about making a solo record actually when Evan Sparrow actually had its major kind of breakout. We called it a breakout record. It was called Sun Sun, and that particular record was in 2015. And even back then I had been talking about, I think I'd like to do some solo stuff, because I was writing really prolifically, like faster than we could put out the work, but also I knew that I had another voice that wasn't being uplifted. So I actually did go and do demos with Tom Healy up in Auckland. Like, I got in my Toyota and I drove all the way to Auckland, and I met with my friend Steve Abel, who's an amazing writer, and I kind of got the people I knew up in Tamaki Makaurau to give me a hand, and I tried my best to put together recordings to start making my own record, and I was really happy with the start, but I knew I wasn't ready. I just could not be strong enough to do it on my own yet, and I think that was a really good experience because I couldn't push myself to go any faster. So Evan Sparrow was totally supportive of that, but we made, you know, 2 more records, and that was a wonderful thing because by the time I got to the end of Evan Sparrow, they all wanted a change and I wanted a change, and it was extremely amicable, but I knew that I could do it. Yeah, it just took me time to be able to say I can stand up and play in front of people all by myself, and it's become as simple as that. That was actually quite an empowering thing to say, I can play, just me and a guitar, I can play and it's enough. And so that's been a big part of like getting ready for Ebony Lamb. As soon as Evan Sparrow finished, I started writing in a different way. Pretty much probably that week I started writing, and the bones of the new record actually started in that week. And that would have been 2018. And yeah, it's been wonderful and terrifying because you suddenly go, what is the sound going to be? And it was a bit uncomfortable. And it was also figuring out if I had something to say, you know, like, what have I got to say? That we went as a nation and as a world, we went through so much between, you know, 2018 until now. There's been huge shifts in political, social, economic and climatic changes, and the arts keep pulling through to show us the way, but I definitely questioned what was it that I was trying to say that was of value. I did a lot of talking to other people who know me, especially in the arts, but also went on a songwriting course with Beck Runga down in Christchurch at the Christchurch Arts Centre, and it was really special. There was quite a few musicians who were current, all different age groups and types on that course, but it was me investigating whether or not I'd actually give this another crack. There was a really high chance I wasn't going to make this record. But as a result of that, you know, the best possible thing has happened and I have made this record.
Was that the first time you'd worked closely with Beck?
Yeah, with Beck, that was definitely the first interaction I'd ever had with Beck Runger. I mean, she's a really big part of most New Zealanders' musical soundscape, you know, as an original singer-songwriter. I didn't know her. I mean, I felt like that kind of connection would be kind of unreachable. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to actually go and investigate my songwriting to say, does this stack up? Can I do this? And the response was, yes, you can. But I had actually investigated, you know, with really good friends, like Dave Kahn, who had helped to produce at that point Reb Fountain's record. And he and I did a lot of demoing together. Dylan Story, my friend Brett Stanton, I'd reached out to try and do it at home, but also other producers who I knew were here in Wellington, where I live. And it wasn't kind of working. It just wasn't working before, but I feel like what happened with reaching toward Beck and Cody was that it's not something that you can even engineer. It's something that has to come from them, and I was lucky enough to go on tour with Beck. She invited me to go on her national tour, and I only played two shows, but it was, we spent a lot of time together. I was helping move around gear and stuff, and they heard me each night performing, and the response was, these are really good songs. Do you have these recorded somewhere? And I was like, no, these are the songs I want to make into a record. And she said she could hear, she would want to produce that. And they were both really positive about that. My daughter, my sister, my son is, I think it's the song that combines the record. It was, and interestingly enough, it was the last song I wrote for the record. So it's the one that comes right at the end. I probably wrote that like just 3 months or so before we went on tour together. So it was quite fresh. I tend to sit on a song for quite a long time before playing it out there in the world because I want to know it inside out, and it goes through different shifts. But that particular song is a great introduction, I think, to a record. It's hard to put it into words what it means, but I think the song itself stands up for what it's trying to say, is that I was really struggling with what was going on in the world. I was quite incredibly furious about what was going on in the world, and I was trying to find what is my touchstone, what it, you know, this question of like what do I have to offer. And it's like, well, I can't change everything, but in my world I have these very strong people in my life who are deeply important to me. One is this beautiful daughter that I absolutely have, I was a very young mum and she's a bit older now. And one is my sister, who is the last remaining person from the family of origin. And one is my son, and he's not my bio son, he's my beautiful stepson. My partner's a widower, so I get to be his mum. And I didn't put my partner in there because it doesn't fit in the line, but you know, like these, it's just about love and connection. It's such a deep level, because out there's just crap happening, but the feel is inviting. When we were making like the music video and stuff for my daughter, my sister, my son, we never got sick of the song, which is a sign to me that it is worthy of being a single. It's not trying to prove anything, it was trying to uplift ideals. So for me, it's like, it's a great introduction into launching into a record. Yeah, the record is a story, you know, it's a book. drive me around, you know, probably the closest in some ways to my old country delivery. In a way, it's a little bit 70s almost in its style, but it's got this really lovely little hits that keep you, just little pressure points that keep it moving along in a really great way. And I don't always write that directly. It's quite, dare I use the word, poetic, but usually there's three or four different themes running through a song. And with this one, it's, you know, I had a really good male friend growing up. He's a drummer. He's very special to me. His name's Damien Jadunsky, and I love this guy. I went to a very small alternative school in the Hawke's Bay, and I got sent back from the South Island on my own when I was 16 because I was so naughty and I didn't want to be on the family holiday. And I got back to Hawke's Bay and he was the only person around to pick me up. And then we just became this very strong, bonded, platonic, totally safe, wonderful friendship that lasted the next few years of my high school. And it's something really special to have a male friend. As a young woman, I adored that, but I miss him, you know, like I don't see him anymore and I love him, but and think about him a lot. But I also thought, you know, wider than that, it's more about like, this line, you know, one of my favourite lines is, you know, alchemists are drowning in pools. So it's like, sounds pretty dark, but there's a lot of people who are in the, who have gifts who are not making it. And I want to keep reaching back and I want to keep reaching out because that could be me. It could be any one of our friends or our family. It's not a single person I know that isn't affected by, you know, difficulties, life difficulties. Nostalgically, like he drove me around in his yellow van all over Hawke's Bay for years, and I listened to Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction and the 3Ds and, you know, heaps of grunge fans. And then we went to so many parties together because, of course, he was a musician. I wasn't, but I was very happy to be a part of the world that he was in. So I was lucky, you know. I kind of got a front seat view of that life, and I enjoyed it. I just absolutely, I think growing up in any small rural town of New Zealand, there's a few little pockets. Hawke's Bay definitely had some where there was musicians from different schools and stuff that would get together. And we'd just have these really crazy, interesting, experimental experiences. And that's some of my greatest memories.
I used to know you. Know you. I still want you to drive. Gotta work hard, you gotta realize how come this adrenaline that kills daughters, brothers, sisters, lovers. Everywhere I go, it's getting hard. Used to know you. Thank you.
wrote this quite a long time ago. It took a while to finish. This particular rendition of it, which is on the record, is actually out of a really special demo session that I did with Dave Kahn and Graham Antler in our home studio here in Belmont in Lower Hutt. I loved what we made as a starting point, and then Cody and Beck put their swing on it, but also I redid the lyrics and things and just made it tighter. I think it's that layering up. It's quite sparse, it's quite vulnerable, it's not overly engineered to make me sound like a perfect person, because it's not a perfect song. It is a real song, and the sentiment about, like, I think about how often you can't, well, I don't know about anybody else, but it can be quite combative in a home sometimes, you know, like relating to others, being together with anybody or your workplace or anything that you're doing with other human beings. And sometimes all you can do is put on a record and shift that feeling. That's definitely been my experience, I think. Come but a record on, you say it was much too late. Falling for the right girl, but all that saturated. Rather Get Me Home is, yeah, I mean, it's on the record for a reason, and it's an important song. This is probably one of the first songs I wrote, like, in that week when Evan Sparrow made the decision that it wanted to end. Around that time when we came to that choice, it just released something in me that I could bring back the focus to my own power about what I could do. Not that anyone was taking it from me, but it was just, I was just spent. And Brother Get Me Home is two things. Part of my home is the world, and part of my home is to be home. The juxtaposition of those two spaces is really powerful to me in my life. So one of the people in my world that is incredibly special to me, he isn't my brother, he's my partner, but he is also my brother. He's my best friend, and he shoves me out into the world and he gives me courage, and at the same time he's here and a safe haven for when I for when I need to retreat and get back. And that's all the time. That wax and wane is part of the journey. I don't have to like it. It's just the way it is. And I felt like I was just like, I couldn't make it right anywhere. So those first few lines of that particular track, really about like, I can't give up on music, basically. I absolutely am falling down, but I really need to be doing it still. So even though the sentiment is, brother, get me home, it's meant in two ways, like get me home back into touring and into my own world of music, and also because that's a home for me. But the other part is to get me home, to keep me safe in my actual place of living.
I'm falling into an ocean of lies I cannot win. I'm talking into an ocean. Come and gave me to me to fool.
Quintessential singer-songwriter track, this one. Star Confessor is, I guess, probably where my songwriting is more transparent. It is, you know, kind of a sung poetry, and it is not hiding anything. It's me and my nylon string guitar. The sentiment is really about following that wave, you know, like following the golden mean, or the golden wave, whatever you want to call it, that space that I feel like I have a duty to follow that, and I can't compromise on that ever again or anymore, even if it's in a humble way. And I actually wrote that song quite a long time ago after a really, really special friend of mine her younger brother died. He was quite young, he was in his early 20s, and you know, I'd known him since before he was born, and it made me feel so deeply for this youthful life that this person had, and it reminds anybody who's going through that, like, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing with my time? And it is as serious as that. Like, what do we try and teach our children or talk about with others? It's to really, like, get to the good juice and go forth into the mystery, you know, like, there's no point doing everything you've ever done before. Might as well. be a bit uncomfortable and go on a bigger trip. So that's, in a very philosophical way, Hunter, that's what I was trying to say with the record and the track.
Star confesses so bold and so fair, holding out your hands for sanguine island pairs, ripe enough to call off the famine.
I'm Ebony Lamb, and you're listening to Totally Wired on BFM.